The recording has started.
Okay. Item 1.1 is the open session. This is Lynn Herring, and I would like to welcome you all to the Board of Directors meeting for the Student Success Program, nonprofit board, which operates the Odeo Charter Schools and the Charter Schools of San Diego. I'm Lynn Herring, Chairman of the Board, and I will facilitate this meeting. So let's take roll call first. When I call your name, please provide the group a brief introduction. We don't have any guests on board, do we? No. So no introductions required. I think everybody knows everybody. But if we would, 1.2 is a roll call. Myself here. Scott?
Here. Present.
David?
Here.
Jane?
Here.
And Eric?
Here.
Very well. Mary, if you would introduce the members of the staff.
I see Lynn Alipio on board. And, you know, she's our CBO. Will is here, fiscal management administrator. Alina Nuno, who takes care of all our tech and coordination. She works in the office of the chief of staff. And Angela Neary, administrative associate, works in my department. And let's see, who else do I see? Jackie Robertson is on. She's chief of staff and communications, and Tim Tudor, executive director. That's it.
I think that's everybody. Good. Establishment of a quorum. Do I have an approval, a motion for approval of item 1.3?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Second.
We'll conduct a roll call. Via voting, myself, aye. Scott Barton?
Aye.
David Cream?
Aye.
Jay Brunowski?
Aye.
And Eric Schweinfurter?
Aye.
We have passed. We'll now take a minute for a Pledge of Allegiance. If I can.
You will.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Camera back on. Now item 1.5 is the approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve item 1.5 with recommendations, with any recommendations from Mary?
Motion to approve the agenda as is.
We will. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second the motion.
Very good. Thank you. We now conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Very well. Unanimous. Moving on. If I know we have to go through this process, but this is laborious. If you'd like to, this is the next section is 2.0, public comment. If you'd like to participate in public comment, please complete the speaker card and submit it to the staff. Public comment for items of interest to the public within the scope of Student Success Program Board non-agenda shall be no longer than 2 minutes. Public comment for agenda items shall be no longer than 3 minutes. Speakers may not yield their time in accordance with the Brown Act. No discussion or action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to respond and give direction to the staff. All public comment will be heard at this point in the agenda as ordered below. Each agenda item being commented on will have a maximum of 20 minutes allotted. And each non-agenda item will have a maximum of 10 minutes allotted. If necessary, the board chair may equivocally decrease that time in order to stay within the allotted maximum. Item 2.1, so I guess not having any public, we can assume that there isn't any, we'll move on to 2.1, non-agenda public comments. This is the opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items not on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 2 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise specified by the chairperson. Speakers may not yield their time. Are there any public comments or items not on the agenda for discussion? Hearing none, we'll move on to 2.2. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items that appear on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by the chairperson. Speakers may not yield their time. Are there any public comments on the agenda on the agenda items? Hearing none, we'll move on. Item 3.0 is administrative items. The first item is 3.1, California Fair Politics Practice Commission statements for economic interests, Form 700 annual filing. This is an informal item and a reminder to file your Form 700. Deadline for the county is April the 1st. You may submit your form electronically, or Angela Neary is able to help you fill out the hard copy. If you'd like Angela to assist you, she will need the form back from you no later than March the 22nd. Is there anyone who has not completed their 700? Good. All right, moving on to 3.2. Governance parental representative posting 2021 to 2022 on respective school web pages. NRCs on January 4th, 2020, deadline for submitting of the application is April the 5th, 2021. This is an annual publication for the vacant parent board representative. Is there anything we need to know on this, Mary, specifically?
Only that we highly value parent input, as you know. We have a variety of ways of gathering that on a pretty regular basis. And so I just want to assure the board that the teachers and staff have reached out, and, you know, we would love to have another parent representative. As you know, we had Barbara Peluso, grandmother, who was a representative for a long time, on the board, representative for parents and PTA. But our parents right now, as you know, are struggling. And so now more than ever, I think it's kind of challenging for people to consider application. Right. But we've got our application out there, and we are encouraging, and we'll continue to do so.
Okay. This is something we deal with almost every year, trying to get somebody to step up to the plate. And this is certainly a harder time to be able to do something. Anyway, we'll move on to item 3.3, consider approval for schools plan for reopening during the pandemic. Tim, I understand you have a report.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone.
David Crean is out. Oh, there he is. Okay. Never mind.
So we've almost been a year now since our resource centers had to close for COVID back on March 13th, when the pandemic really hit the area. All the schools in the county closed. And so we've been working towards slowly reopening our sites to make them available to students. We started that process for our special ed kids back in October, and are just monitoring the situation in terms of health conditions to continue the process of reopening our sites. Right now we have teachers that come in 2 days a week. So we have a group A comes in on Monday, Wednesday, group B comes in on Tuesday, Thursday, and Fridays are generally closed or by appointment only, so that we are still providing staff and students the opportunity to come in, but that we're doing it in a very safe manner so that we reduce the chances of anyone on our sites getting COVID. So students that are special ed, that are 504, that are struggling with distance learning have the opportunity to come in for about 90 minutes to 2 hours once a week, and still receive the services You know, if you recall, we're about 20% special education, our total student population. So there are services that are critical that our students get, and many of them have to be done in person. All of our resource centers have been redesigned so that there's social distancing, there's processes to make sure that when you check in, you're getting your temperature checks, you are hand sanitizing your hands, you are checking your masks, staff is signing you in, and you are being assigned a seat of where you'll be to ensure that there is a safety precautions taking place. So staff is kind of on a rotating schedule. They seem to be really liking that. We had very little pushback on anyone coming back on the sites. Many of them were very eager to be coming back to serving students, especially those that are really at risk of needing additional supports. That's not just distance learning. Luckily for us, we were designed to handle the pandemic as best probably anybody could, considering we had so much technology. All our curriculum is now online. All of our meetings were able to be conducted through Teams, such as this meeting. So a lot of the structure of the school still stayed in place, which is, you know, more virtual. Staff working from home, the offices are primarily closed. All our departments have transitioned all their work online. All the documents they need access to are all on the cloud. All our professional development continues to move forward, but it's all done virtually, just like this. So all the tools that folks need, we either have them or got them quickly. Most of our forms are all now signed through DocuSign. All onboarding for new staff is done virtually. So we've been able to handle it well. Now it's just as the conditions improve with the COVID numbers, we're able to bring staff back on site more. So we're continuing to monitor that. We do have our staff go get COVID tested every other month to make sure that they're proactively doing that. We have noticed our southern sites have been hit a little bit more with COVID. Our nursing staff is available almost 24/7 and our staff to make sure that if they need to quarantine or they have situations that they need to talk through, they have someone that is available to them to talk about what to do next steps if they feel they were exposed in any way. So we've had no reported cases of anybody getting it on our sites. It's more bringing it from home or other places is where they've been exposed. So we're feeling really good about our plan and what we put in place and where we are moving forward.
And I'd like to really commend Tim and his team working closely with the nurses. The safety team, everyone involved has done a superior job. As you hear that they're coming in an hour and a half, remember, once again, we're a hybrid program. I know you know this, so don't compare us to a traditional program where, of course, it'd be many more hours during the week. So we're kind of close to standard. We're also very considerate of teachers' needs. So where you've heard where many schools are kind of at odds in regard to a variety of issues, we've not experienced that. We're very sensitive to any specific need on the part of the teacher. You know, if they have a relative or a child that's fragile, things like that. So our teachers have been absolutely fantastic, and there's just a real mutual caring and consideration. The information, I probably, again, don't have to tell you this, but the information coming down from all our primary sources is, I don't think I'd say it's confusing. I would say it's mercurial. It kind of changes. Whereas, our first numbers were, seven. We're looking for seven. You're not supposed to have more than seven. Well, now it's gone up to 25. The numbers vacillate in terms of expectations. And I realize, we are learning more and more information coming in. But we have, I believe, had to really take in a variety of resources and consider all those and make judgments going forward based on what we think is prudent for our students and for our teachers. And because of all our precautions, we feel that we're in a very, very safe place. If you'd like to look at our website, our nurses are there and they provide a lot of information on the website, as well as very specific information that goes out to our staff. I believe it's on a weekly basis or very close. So, are there any questions about this?
Mary, I don't have a question, but a comment that I think the plan is, as you and Tim have stated, and I read, is comprehensive, it's well-written, it's practical. I like the professional development is gonna remain virtual. You have a strong mental wellness plan, and I think it's a really good plan going forward.
Thank you so much. And I always appreciate the board because I know our board reads everything. Unlike other boards.
I thought his words right out of my mouth.
Extremely
comprehensive.
Yeah.
I like the idea that you've laid out each of the particular areas. It seems as though all the concerns have been addressed in what you've put together. So that's good, because which means staff has some place to go and they're not guessing every day on what the procedure looks like. And I think that's very important, because I think that's exactly what's happening in the regular school system, is that there isn't something that somebody can go to and say, okay, I can live with that, or I can't live with that, or I don't know what is happening. And I think that's exactly why you're seeing 9 days, 25, 15, 18, what is it? You literally haven't got something to work from that people can go to. So this is really quite a deal. Well done.
Congratulations.
It's going to go on for a while too. I think we have,
that is.
We have to consider that, you know, they're talking about fall, you know, reopenings, if we're lucky, you know. So.
Well, I watched a piece yesterday with the new variants and the potential for those new variants to have a different effect. And whether or not we'll be able to just return, we now have 4 separate outbreaks of 3 separate viruses or strains in the state of California. So, you know, we're just going to have to prepare to do this for a little bit longer until things return to normal and we get more people vaccinated.
I cannot emphasize how damaging, how awful this is for the young people in the United States.
Yeah.
I couldn't have even ever imagined anything worse than this. We have a population that comes to us that's ready for our kind of instruction and open to it. But by no means are the younger children or the masses of students in school prepared for this. Nor, to make it more complicated, has the traditional school been prepared for this at all. And even in a year, and of course there was a lot of lagging of many months, but even in a year, it would be a challenge to prepare a school environment, whether physically, curriculum-wise, operationally, for a situation like this. So I realize that some of our schools are on square one, and not our schools out there, are on square one and are just beginning to realize that no, this is not going to pass and we're going to be in this for a while. So I'm very sad for our young people. And I know you share that. But the best we can do is focus on our schools and do the best that we can do.
Well, again, congratulations. And I think that's very well done. Okay, is there anything else that we'd like to on this particular item? So do I have a motion to approve 3.3?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. We conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Thank you. Next is 3.4. It's consider approval of the board resolution approving participation in California Finance Authority's ASAP program to provide financing for the plan February through June 2021 apportionment deferrals. And
I think most of you understand what this is, but Lynn, can you give us a very short review? We've explained it before, but are you there? Yes.
Thank you, Admiral Herring. As you are aware, with the passage of the Budget Act, there are three key factors that affected all the schools, which is we are not funded on enrollment growth. 36% of the state revenues for this fiscal year is deferred from February 2021 to June 2021. Revenues are deferred in the next fiscal year. Also, this year, we are budgeted on prior year's P2ABA. You are aware that Mary and I have been working on securing the funding so that we can assure positive cash flow over the next 18 months that, in order to be prepared for fiscal uncertainties. And if you would like to know what is the percentage for every apportionment for February to June, it is indicated on page 2 of your budget assumptions. The state agency called the California School Finance Authority is spearheading this program because they are aware that charter schools are not eligible for what you call TRANS or tax and revenue anticipation notes. So they created this ASAP, which is Advances on State Aid Payments Program, to provide charter schools for the gap between the deferments. And this is a pooled short-term loans, and the interest is estimated to be 0.5% annualized and 0.65% for the loan fees. The loan amount will not be exceeding the deferral amount for each LEA. This is a very low, and in order to secure a very low and marketable interest rate, the borrower will be putting out 6.7% of what you call a credit enhancement fee. But this credit enhancement fee will be refunded once the loan is paid. This is to protect them because there are charter schools that are up for renewal, and the risk of that school not having been renewed will affect the whole pool. So therefore, that 6.7 credit enhancement fee is needed from the borrower. This resolution that is before you is, there's an indicated amount there in the resolution, which is an amount estimated and not to exceed $3,250,000. But the estimated deferrals, the loan for Student Success Program is $3,208,341. For Odeo, it's about $790,675. And for the Charter School of San Diego, it is $2,417,665. The parties that is involved, as indicated in the resolution for the ASAP program, the borrower, which is the corporation, the SSP corporation, the California School Finance Authority is the authority, the U.S. Bank National Association is the trustee, the RBC Capital Markets and the Citigroup Global Markets are the underwriters. Montague DeRose is the municipal advisor to the borrower. Each borrower is required to designate a legal counsel. And for our schools, I have provided them the name of Sarah Coleman of the Young Mini and Core. In the resolution also, we were required to put the name of the president and CEO, the CBO, the CFO treasurer of the corporation, the executive director, and the chairperson of the board. These are the individuals that the board is appointing to be the authorized person to execute the document. Although there are four names on the resolution, only one person is required to execute the loan. And lastly, yesterday I have provided you for just for board board information, the loan agreement, the indenture, and the pricing confirmation certificate. The board is not required to approve that. As you can see, there are so many blanks there because it's not yet final. Thank you.
I have asked Lynn to be the signatory on that loan because she's in the best position to address the technicalities of it. And also she knows the numbers off the top of her head. So, well, maybe not off the top of her head, but at her fingertips. So that was good. This, if you'll recall, was part of our strategy laid several months ago. Because of the unknown status of deferrals and so much else that's involved, we felt that the best we could do was to get as much cash on hand. The ideal, of course, is to be able to proceed forward without any kind of interference with our regular budget in terms of providing for our staff benefits, STIRS, you know, payroll, all that, and our leases, which although we've been able to negotiate some pretty good deals with our leases, we've paid leases and haven't deferred any of our lease payments. There's a lot of factors in play, so we felt that the best we could do would be have cash in hand. These are complicated loans, the trans loans. The districts do them all the time. That's how they provide for their cash flow. They do it all the time. It's a relatively new thing to introduce them to charter schools, which is a plus. That's a good thing. But, you know, obviously there's probably more even associated with a charter school applying for such loans. I'm not sure how many applied in California. We're just guessing it's around 100, but we don't have a real statistic. It, because of its complexity, I can see that a lot of schools would have been discouraged. You've probably also read that the state has been surprised, which I don't know how you're surprised that you have 20 million more than you thought you had, but they're surprised. And it may be even exceeding 20 million. However, where that would be appropriated, we don't know. We hear that schools would be appropriated, but we can't be assured that non-classroom-based schools would be among those. There are just so many things up in the air. So in dialogue with the chair, this is the approach we took. So I commend the finance department and our legal advisors for weeding through all the detail associated with applying for these loans. Thank you.
Okay. All I can say is, wow, there was so much involved in doing that. I'm wondering how many schools actually had the capacity to actually walk themselves through that process in a whole, and then be able to provide the security necessary for application. I think if you're a school at risk, that security is probably a really good thing for everyone who borrowed off of it, because at least you know that the benefiters will not fold as a result of what's here, and they had the monies to provide the security to protect what you then will have to deal with going forward. So I like the way this is put together. I want to thank Lynn for providing so much information. It helps. I know it's not finalized. The only thing that I didn't catch is what happens if the system as a whole falls. Where are the securities in this document for those that continue to pay? Is I didn't see anything about if this process folds, because there's something else that goes on. What happens if the bulk fail? Are there protections written in this for you?
There are for the borrower, they are going to release the money this year before okay. June. And but then for the state, they can get their money, because what happens is before we get our apportionment from the state, because it's the finance who releases the finance, they will minus already the payment from the loan in schedule.
Okay, I got it.
Before
okay, that makes sense, because I was wondering if you could get stuck having planned for it and not get it because it virtually doesn't unfold the way it's expected.
In fact, I want to say to you, Mr. Admiral Herring, they were the one of our school. We were having a problem because Odeo 2, as you know, is going for renewal, and it's not has been renewed. Odeo 1 was at risk, but then it got renewed, so they approved Odeo 1. But Odeo 2 right now, I said to them that there's a highly chances of getting it approved. What they do, the state, because Odeo 2 has not been renewed, the whole deferment for this year will not be released. It's only February apportionment, March apportionment will be released by March. Okay. And then they will hold the other months until the Odeo 2 renewal has been approved.
Okay, that answers the question. Thank you. All right. So do I have a motion to approve 3.4?
I'll move to approve 3.4.
I will go ahead and second that.
Second. Very well. Thank you. All those in favor by roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Very well. Motion passes. 3.5. Consider approval education for homeless children and youth policy. 1952.
If I may, I would like to put forth my recommendation for all of these individual policies that we'll be voting on. And later on in the agenda, there under the consent items, there's several other policies that have been amended. All of these policies have been very carefully reviewed by staff in order to update, and where necessary, we have sought information from our attorneys just to kind of review. So my recommendation goes with all the policies that we've brought for you.
Okay, so let's do this. With that recommendation in place, do I have a motion to approve item 3.4, 3.6, 3.7, 3.8, 3.9?
That's it.
Len, I think you meant to say 3.5 to 3.9. We already took a vote on 3.4.
Yeah.
Okay. So 3.5 to 3.9. If there's a motion to approve 3.5 to 3.9.
This is a motion to approve 3.5 to 3.9.
Very well. Do I have a second?
A second.
Before we vote, is there any discussion, conversation, or questions on any one of those items?
I just want to add on to what Mary said. I've seen many of these policies in schools, and I'm particularly pleased with immigration, the homeless, foster children. They're just, again, well-written, they're very comprehensive, and especially in this time right now, the homeless is it's so important. So I well done.
Yeah, it's just great to see that, you know, again, the disadvantaged are specifically addressed in the policy here. And I think that that's just so important. It's all about the student.
And may I add that as of, I think it was late January, we added a new position that we've never had before. It's a leadership position. They're part of my huddle, and it's an officer responsible for equity and inclusion. And within their job description, all of these special populations are included, the homeless and the foster. And so they work very carefully, their team, to assure that we're meeting the very specific needs of each one of these groups.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, we'll now hold the vote. Roll call, myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Very good. Moving on to 310 is the president's report.
I'm very pleased to share that, as you know, we brought the Adeo Charter School before the San Diego Unified School District Board of Trustees for renewal, another 5-year renewal. And I think this is this the 6th renewal, Tim? Or the 5th?
The 5th for Adeo.
The 5th for Adeo, that's right. And we received unanimous approval. The really special part of this year's renewal was that our team, led by Tim and Lynn, worked very closely with the charter school office. And in fact, they were actively involved in helping to design some of the policy that related to DOS schools. There's 3 DOS schools in the district, 2 of them are ours. So they were very interested in how we worked and what were the best ways to work with us. So there was a lot of work behind the scenes. Charter office was very cooperative, very supportive, and as was our team. So that was a great, great, happy event that happened. And this was in the midst of 2 other renewals for some of the other smaller schools that working on right now. Well, one is a renewal and one's a new charter. And we'll keep you posted on the progress with those as well. The second thing is the Blue Ocean Strategy. I sent you a short email sharing a little bit about Blue Ocean Strategy. People often wonder when we say that and it's part of our values, our stated values, it always has been, that we use a business perspective. We have a tremendous amount of respect for business and what we can learn for what education can learn about how business works. Those that aren't particularly informed instantly think that we're talking about a for-profit situation. And even though that might provoke a misunderstanding, it's not enough for us to remove that as a basic value, because we have taken a great deal and from business and incorporated it into what we do. Our data, the metrics that we use are very specific. They go way beyond instructional outcomes, although instructional outcomes, as you know, are key. But we have put forth a great deal of effort to be sure that the data that we gather is really relevant data that's actionable and that we use. So our managers who are overseeing our sites go by our storybook, which publishes on a regular basis, monthly basis, our data. And in between, there's data that is published that they can use. So data is used in a very unique and special way. Our professional development is way beyond traditional PD. It goes beyond curriculum, and it deals with culture, specific needs of specific populations, personal well-being, very broad and very deep, so much so to the point where we feel that we're running 2 schools. We really are, 1 for students and 1 for staff. And in regard for our teachers, we are still working with the Commission on Teacher Credentialing to develop an internal credentialing program for special education. So, and that takes quite a bit, quite a while. It's not an easy, short process. So our professional development is unique. There are some other factors. Certainly in finance, we always target at having a balanced budget, which I think is unique at times too. Research and development is a component that is key to what we do here, research and development. Lynn's shop is responsible for the development piece based on our research. And I work on the research along with Dr. Davis. That is primarily what we do. And I bring ideas forward to the staff, those that can inform our activities. I belong to Vistage. The board generally supports my membership, and that is a business group. David Crean is formerly a member, very, very well informed about Vistage. Eric is a current member, and they bring a great deal of knowledge to a struggling principal that's just trying to figure out what we should be doing. And one of the things that recently occurred was that we had a speaker, Andy Simon, who came to speak to us about the Blue Ocean Theory. The Blue Ocean Strategy is a book that was published in 2014, and it's just gotten republished with some updates. So it's not a real new concept, but it, in many business settings, it's very popular. In short, as I described it, if you have the image of a red ocean, which is focused on competition, which we have to pay attention to, but you have to be careful that you don't get immersed in the red ocean. When you're competing with other people, it becomes very status quo. You did this better. Well, I'm going to do that better than you did. And you're talking about the same things. Whereas if you look to what they describe as the blue ocean, then you're creating a new mindset where people are centering more on not just improvement. Improvement is the job of managers. In leadership, you're looking at innovation, totally different ways of thinking of things. And there's many examples. Our consultant sent you that book, On the Brink, and there's some examples in there. The actual original book, Blue Ocean Strategy, the primary source, has some wonderful, wonderful examples. And if you can indulge me in terms of time, let me just give you one or two. iTunes. As you know, one of the challenges of those of us that love music has always been that if you wanted to buy a single, you had to buy the whole CD if you're going to be legal. Or you went to some of these Napster and some of those other companies where you were really ripping off a song or two, and that is illegal. iTunes created a whole different approach where you didn't have to buy the CDs. You could buy single songs. As you can see, they took what the client really wanted and gave it new application. My favorite example is that of circuses. Circuses were dying in the United States, as you know. Very few circuses left for a variety of reasons. One, they had animals, which were kind of a center of their entertainment. And animals, not only was that being brought under question by the public at large, but it's also very expensive to maintain and keep animals. They also hired circus stars, which were expensive, people that had some renown and were known, and that was expensive. They made some profit by selling popcorn and things like that out to the audience who were sitting on very hard bleachers. The redo of today's circus was Cirque du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil took on a new way of looking at a circus. Instead of having three rings, which were distracting, they did one ring. Instead of having a star for the circus, they had a variety of people that come in, many different people, kind of like Blue Group, you know, where there's all kinds of people that can do the act, and they move around to different productions. They elevated the environment, so there weren't bleachers anymore, but really nice, pretty high level, comfortable seating, and even refreshments at times. So the point is that they took a new view of the product. And that is what we're hoping to accomplish. I would say that my leadership team and Tim's leadership team are very much attuned to our approach to change. We don't just look at weaknesses, we look at strengths and try to kick strengths up to another approach, a better approach, a new approach, something that you might even call innovation. We hesitate using the term innovation because it's so cliche, but you get my point. It's a totally different approach to the work. So now is the time for us to move that thinking out to our whole workforce and to assure that everyone feels they have the permission to bring forth ideas. We think that's in the culture, but Blue Ocean Strategy really formalizes it for them and gives them a visual. So that's what we're rolling out. It fits beautifully with our Baldrige Foundation. We are permeated with Baldrige. Everybody understands Baldrige. I should say almost everybody. Of course, we have brand new employees, but that's part of our new teacher training and our new employee training. And we are in the midst of daring to make another Baldrige application. Recall we won the first charter school. We were the first K-12 school, let alone a charter school, to be recognized nationally from the office of President Obama. And there's just a handful, I'm sure it's just a handful, if not less, of organizations that have actually been rewarded twice. There has to be a 5-year lapse before you can apply. And we're applying. It's the Charter School of San Diego that is applying again. And hopefully we might be recognized. The whole point, however, is to go through the exercise of analyzing what has transpired over 5 years and what kind of systemic progress we've made. So that is the background on the Blue Ocean Strategy, which is, I think, very important for our ongoing sustainability. What's my second one here? My computer, oh, there it is. The mid-year strategy. Okay, as you know, we have a system for assuring that our year's work is consistent with our overarching goals. We have 9 overarching goals, which have to do, and just an example of a couple of them are our growth. And we have never been committed to huge numbers, but rather a quality measured growth, which focuses on the target populations that we identify. Another one is, and this is futuristic, it's the human-machine relationship. So we are very seriously looking at how we can incorporate AI, artificial intelligence, into our school. Already we have quite a bit, but we're thinking in terms of robots and delivery of instruction, that kind of thing. So these are very overarching goals that take us way, way out. Our annual initiatives are based on those overarching goals. And you're familiar with those. Every year we go over them and share them with you. This week we will be having our mid-year meeting. It's an all-day meeting where the champions, department heads primarily, will review for us their progress so that we're agile, so that we can adjust, change, do what we have to do to see that we're moving all of our initiatives forward. In the first week of August, then we will review and we'll have a peer evaluation of every one of those initiatives to evaluate how successful we were. And using that as a base, we'll go forward in our plan for the coming year. So in spite of COVID, there is a tremendous amount of activity that's going on, and we don't want to slow up because we feel we're in a very good place in spite of negative PR, which continues out there. The Washington Post is really negative. They know who we are, among other charters. So in spite of that, you know, it's here today and gone tomorrow. And only our enemies would pick up, and I don't mean specifically our school, I mean the movement's opponents, pick up on those kinds of really negative, not well-founded publications. We are sailing in a blue ocean, though, and we are keeping our eyes focused on the possibilities and our clients and our staff. And we figure that quality, hopefully, will always overcome and trump negativism. So that's the end. I'm open for any questions at all. I know that's a mouthful, but I try to make it as succinct as possible. Are there any questions or thoughts to share?
Well, Mary, your commitment to excellence is just amazing. You know, so many companies or organizations would, you know, they would reach the pinnacle of a Malcolm Baldrige Award and say, we've arrived and coast on that forever. But, you know, it's a testament to you, to your commitment to this excellence and moving the organization forward even after achieving that, and just looking for more ways to improve is really impressive, and I commend you for it.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And, you know, the CEO always tends to take the adulation. Of course, when they mess up, they also get the flack. But at this point, I really have to tell you that the real drivers for this Baldrige new application are Tim and Lynn, Tiffany, Yandel, Jackie, Will just joined that group, and Aaron Smith, who took over our data. Arlene McGowan, has left us. And so there is a team of really hardcore people under the direction of Denise Shields that are moving forward to this, and they really deserve the credit for the efforts. There are a lot of other people, of course, involved in terms of the accomplishments and improvements that we're synthesizing into, what is it, 53 pages, 52 pages, something like that. It's got to be very concise. But thank you. We appreciate that. We really do. And thank you for all the wisdom that you bring to us, Eric, through Vistage. We're real learners. Anyone else? Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Mary. I too am incredibly impressed, and I think this is the right way to address things. Again, when you focus on the student, it's not about a competition. And so that approach is the right thing. It's really about making sure that your customer is satisfied, so we're not looking in the same fashion. And one of the things that was amazing to me as I'm reading through it is, again, the inclusivity. Obviously, you're looking to target, because it's not specific to a category of individuals, but all individuals. And there was nothing in there that separated one from the other. It assumed that everyone was deserving of the energy and effort that you're putting forward. So I commend that, even the way it's written, that it is, again, about the success of the program focused on the student.
May I add one last thing, Admiral? I just want to remind you that Admiral Herring this year is receiving the Volunteer of the Year Award from CCSA. And it's recognizing someone from the board is unique. And short video that we just taped this week, and we'll share the video with you when the time comes. They'll be playing it at the conference. And so I cannot emphasize how critical all of you are to the process, all of the processes that we've touched on this morning and that we will continue to touch on. So what I guess I want to say is stick with us, David and Scott. I know we're on a test for you, Scott, but I hope you stick with us and love us enough to stay another year. And Eric and of course, Admiral Herring. And Janie, I couldn't function without seeing Janie's face. She's been there from the beginning. So stick with us. There's something wonderful right around the corner.
You know, Mary, you had me at hello. Come on.
God, I somehow, David, I got you. Okay, next is 3.11. Tim, is there a staff report?
The report is the participation, which we regularly monitor on a monthly basis and then provide the board at the regular meetings. Overall, our participation for TARP-AUDEO is about 89.9%, so right at 90%. Our goal is 84, so we're well above that. We are down about 1% from last year. CSSD's participation is about 86.4. Which is down from about 89, so down 2%, but still well above the goal of 84. So the individual teacher and resource center information is in there as well.
Okay, great, thanks. I think given the circumstances, those slow drops are not something to be concerned about. We probably would have expected something of that nature. I think the fact that it's just a few percentage points. That means that you're at least focused in doing the right thing. I think that there are probably others who have seen a significant drop in those areas. Okay, any other comments or issues on 3.11? If not, we'll move forward to 4.0, the consent agenda. All matters listed in the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and will be approved and enacted by the board in one motion in the form listed below, unless specifically requested by a board member for further discussion or removed from the agenda. There will be no discussion of these items prior to the board's vote on them. The president recommends approval of all consent agenda items. Do I have a motion for the approval of 4.1, which is 4.1.1 through 4.1.14.2?
So moved. Second. That was Scott first, David second.
Thank you. Well, those, any further discussion?
Again, I think they're well-written, they're comprehensive. I want to point out that the staff-student interaction policy, I appreciate that there's an initial training and then annual training, as that is a very important policy.
Agreed. Anything else? Very well, conduct a roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Very well, thank you. Moving on, action items. Action items for the Adeo Charter School. Consider approval of the first interim report, FY 2021. Mary, do you have Lynn, do you have a report?
This is a customary mandated report for all schools, which reports the actual expenditures and revenue from July 1 to October 31st, 2020.
Yeah. I didn't see any abnormalities. Mary, is there any recommendations?
Recommendation for all of the action items, please.
Okay. Do I have a motion for the approval of item 5.1.1?
I move to approve.
Well.
I'll second that.
And Jane second. Any further discussion? Very well, we'll take a vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Review of the next item is 5.1.2, review and discuss February revised operational budget assumptions for FY 2021 and consider approval of the February revised operational budget for FY 2021. Lynn, is there anything that we need to know on this one?
This is the February revise, which is based on the P2ADA of 596.37, which is the same P2ADA as last year.
Okay.
And the total revenue is 8.1 million. We've included in this budget the CARES Act, which is your elementary and secondary school emergency relief fund, which is a one-time special funding this year. And the amount for DAO is $93,593. There's another ESSER round two, which DAO is approximately receiving $381,213. There's a learning loss mitigation fund of $97,653, and a mental health level one fund, which is special for this year, one time also, it's about $6,000. And the CTE grant is $348,000.
Wow.
Which take applications, right? They don't hand it to you.
Application based. We allocated 3% of the total revenue for reserves, which is $248,892. And the payroll expenses, including the benefits, represents about 70% of the total revenue.
Okay. Wow. All right. Do I have a motion to approve item 5.1.2?
So moved.
I'll second that.
Any conversation or discussion? Very well. Can the roll call? Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Moving on, section 5.2, action items for the Charter School of San Diego. Lynn, do we have anything in particular? Is 5.2.1, consider approval of first interim report 2021.
Similar to ADEA, this is the based on a P2ADA, which is the same as last year. The P2ADA is 1,659 ADA, and revenue is about 21.9 million. We also, CSSD also received CARES Act of $335,732, and the ESSER round two for CSSD is $403,000. There's a learning loss mitigation fund of $281,000, and the mental health level fund is about $16,589, and the CTE grant is $112,049. We allocated 3% of the total revenue for reserves, which is about $657,901. And the allocation for the FTE position is 126 full-time equivalent position, and payroll expenses is about 67% of the revenue.
Wow. Okay, do I have a motion for the approval of 5.2.1?
Motion to approve 5.2.1.
And a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any additional conversation on 5.2.1? Very well. Hearing none, we'll conduct a voting. The roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Well, 5.2.2, review and discuss February revised operational budget assumptions for FY 2021 and consider approval of February revised operational budget for FY 2021. Lynn, do you have anything in particular for this one?
Is this for CSSD? I believe I also discussed CSSD. Okay.
Anything different for this one?
Nothing, yes.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve
5.2.2? So moved.
Second.
Very good. Any further discussion? We'll conduct a voting by roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes. 5.2.3, consider approval of local control and accountability plan, LCAP, under federal addendum to 2021 amendment. Tim, do you have anything in particular we need to talk?
This is just the LCAP was requirement was waived with exception to the federal funding part. So this is the plan on how we'll spend the title monies that we receive from the federal government. And the plan lays out the details.
Okay. Anything different from previous?
No, it's pretty much similar to previous years. We just update any new trainings that we will spend our money on or any new programs we may bring on.
And any requirements due to COVID that modified the administration of LCAP?
The state funding portion, the requirement to do the LCAP this year was waived, but because the federal government did not, we had to do the federal government portion.
See, this is why it's so complicated, because there isn't a standard across the board. So I appreciate the efforts that you have to go through. Okay, is there anything else? Mary, do you have anything?
Other than, are we on item 6.0?
No, 5.2.3.
Oh, no.
No. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve 5.2.3?
Motion to approve. I will second 5.2.3.
Okay. Any further discussion? Very good. I'm going to conduct a roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Moving on to item 6.0. From time to time, the board has topics of interest that they would like to share with the community. These are informal in nature and do not require action. Are there any comments or announcements?
Graduation is still up in the air. Balboa Park is not taking reservations. Staff has talked about it and has considered as a backup plan coming up with a video kind of you know, a visual graduation, which is not really what we want to do. We've also considered having several graduations that are very small group. That would be rigorous, but that too requires Balboa Park to open up for us. So we're working on it. We don't have any information that's specific. We may not have it until quite late, actually, but we'll keep you informed as we move forward.
Mary, I saw something the other day I thought was pretty incredible. And just a thought, that I actually saw a school do a graduation at a drive-in theater.
Yeah.
And there's one in Chula Vista, in IB, that might be perfect. There's three theaters, but everybody can come in their car. There's no distance and everybody gets to share in the experience. You can still have speakers because it's done through a radio system, but that might be an idea. You could get hundreds of cars into one theater and still maintain your distance.
Okay, thank you. We'll turn that over to the graduation committee.
Good.
Do with it.
Just a thought. It looked like a pretty smart idea. The kids didn't want to go without having something.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Then we get to 7.0, which is adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Okay, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.